Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, still to come in the next hour, we'll preview the first televised presidential debate as Donald Trump and Joe Biden go head-to-head. With the long summer holidays ahead, what age is too young to be left alone? And gardener Mary Staunton and DIY expert Catherine Carton have their top tips to get the best out of your greenhouse. You can text us your questions on 51551 for that. Now, we're going to turn to one of, I couldn't quite call it, with the hidden gems of Ireland's ancient past, but we're never too far away from a historic landmark or a millennia-old monument dotted across the ancient land, and one unique location which boasts many archaeological finds and possesses both physical and spiritual links to the past is the Hill of Ushnuk in County Westmeath. It's known as the Sacred Centre of Ireland. It's the second of the six royal sites of Ireland we're featuring on this programme, following the piece on the Hill of Tara last week. And to discuss this ancient landscape in the heart of the Midlands, I'm joined now in studio by Simon Chute, who's tour guide at Ushnuk, and over the phone by Maeve Sikora, archaeologist and keeper of Irish antiquities at the National Museum of Ireland. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Hello.
Simon, where other royal sites, I suppose, are synonymous with kingdoms and royals, Ushnuk is, I suppose, belongs in both the real and the spiritual world, features heavily in Irish mythology, where the hill is regarded as the sacred centre of Ireland and a place of origins and beginnings.
That's right. It's, as you said, it's considered to be the sacred centre of Ireland, and I suppose its main claim to fame, in a sense, is it's where Eru, the sovereignty goddess of Ireland, gives the land to the Gaelic people, according to the legend, when the Milesians, the ancestors of the Gaelic people, arrived in Ireland. They make their way to the Hill of Ushnuk, where they meet with Eru, and she gives them the land as long as they promise to name it after her. And that's where, according to the mythological tradition, where Ireland gets its name, meaning sort of Eru, the land of Eru. And beyond that, it's, whereas the other royal sites are much more associated directly with kingship, the High King obviously at Tara and the provincial kings at the other sites, whereas Tara would represent the king himself and the rule of the king, Ushnuk represents the sovereignty, the personification of the land, the female personification of the land. And so it's deemed that it is the goddess who decides which king can rule. The goddess has the power to give sovereignty to the king, give the right to rule, or take it away. And so it's like I said, whereas the other sites seem to be more associated with the kings themselves, Ushnuk is associated more so with that idea of sovereignty itself.
And is it connected with ritual and celebration as a result?
All of the sites are, and absolutely, Ushnuk, even today we have the Bealtaine Festival on the hill, which is a tradition that goes right back into prehistoric times. We know from our earliest literature of an assembly on the hill called the Mórdal Ushnuk, where the tribes would gather together at Bealtaine onto the hill for this ceremony whereby, quite unique to Ireland, this idea that the king would actually marry the land itself. He as a representative of the people, makes a sort of promise to the land in a ritual ceremony called the Banish Rí, the wedding feast of kingship. And in that ceremony, where there's different accounts of how the ceremony went down, but the idea is that the king would marry this personification, and that he must treat her right. He must treat the land right. And if he doesn't, he's told about it. The land will let him know. The crops might fail. Cows fail to calve. The goddess rejects him. And
all right. So there's a certain amount of legitimacy derived from this, both the place of it in the spiritual and mythological view. And then also this is renewed every so often. But they had a good stab at getting this or rooting this in the middle of Ireland, the fact that they found a place that was so central, not far off the actual geographical centre of the country.
Well, that's it. It's, according to the digital mapping, we're only about 4.5 kilometres northeast of the actual centre. Ushnuk is, the hill itself is about 180 metres high, which makes it one of the tallest hills in the Midlands on the Central Plain. And the view, it said, we can see up to 20 counties on a clear day. So if you're looking west from the summit, you're seeing the Brickleave Mountains in County Sligo. You're looking east, you can see right the way to the Wicklow Mountains. So you're almost seeing from coast to coast. And it's always been seen. The myths have always talked about it as a place of centrality. The centre of the land.
And in terms of what's there to be seen, you give tours of Uisneach, and when people come to see it, what are you showing them, and what are the significant archaeological talking points?
So we've, I suppose, four main monuments, so to speak, which cover, you know, all of the royal sites are sort of complex, ritual complexes with monuments that range from the Neolithic right the way through to the Middle Ages. And on the tour of the hill, we often bring people through this idea of the king, that Banish Rhi idea, the king marrying the goddess. And so the youngest monument on the hill is a medieval ring fort. The legend with that is that it's said to have been built by Tuathail Teacmhar, one of the originators of the O'Neill clan. And then we have the ritual lake or ritual pond known as Loch Lu, where the god Lu is said to have met his mortal end at the hands of MacCool, MacHecht and MacGraine. And he's also buried on the hill on a cairn in Cairn Lugdach. And then at the summit, we have and what we think is a Neolithic passage tomb. It's a Neolithic cairn anyway, right at the summit of the hill. But the most important monument on the hill isn't actually man-made. It's a huge glacial erratic, a huge stone known as the Ol na Muireann, or Stone of Divisions. Now, it is surrounded by a Bronze Age, maybe early Iron Age, what's called a barrow, like a henge-like monument, a sort of bank that surrounds this stone. So we know that it's been a place of, maybe not worship, but considered a sacred place for at least 4,000 years. It's a long time that people have been coming there. It was always known as a sanctuary. Uisneach itself, the word Uisneach, predates the Irish language. We think it means either the place of the Angles, which would tie in with its centrality, the meeting point of the provinces, and also the place of the hearth, which ties in with the Bealtaine Fire Festival, which is held still every year there on the hill.
All right, I want to bring in Maeve Sikora, who's archaeologist and keeper of Irish antiquities at the National Museum of Ireland. The site that Simon's just been describing there, Maeve, has been shortlisted for a nomination as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So how's that going, first of all, in terms of securing that status, and what's the archaeological significance that's been turned up in excavations?
So, hi, Colm. So, the World Heritage piece is looked after by my colleagues in the National Monument Service, and Uisneach is, I understand, on the tentative list as a royal site. So it's at a stage where there's a huge amount of consultations having to be done, and there's a whole sort of team of professionals working on that behind the scenes, including archaeologists in the National Monument Service. But I suppose in terms of what's been found on the excavations, we had two sites excavated in the sort of between about 1925 and 1930. So they're really at the dawn of the practice of archaeology as a science, if you like, a very interesting time. And so the excavations were carried out by Robert Lloyd Prager and McAllister. So they dug two sites, and they found some very interesting artifacts, which suggest in both cases that there's high status occupation of the site. So one of the most important and interesting artefacts, which is actually on display here in the National Museum on Kildare Street in Dublin, is a tiny little disc brooch. It's about the size of a 2-euro coin, 3 centimetres across, and it features the figures of three men, three crouching men, which are, they're grabbing each other's legs, and they're in a sort of a triskel. And this is it's bronze, but it has gilding on it, so it's gold. So again, a tiny artefact like that can give us so much information as to the importance of the site, and plus the rest of the assemblage is incredible. So we have a bone comb from Cloakerstown, as well as a horse harness, for example, but other more mundane artefacts as well, like iron knives, crucibles indicating copper working at the site or bronze smelting. So a huge suite of artefacts. And very interestingly, when they were excavated, they were interpreted in one way. So Lloyd Prager and McAllister interpreted Tokerstown, or perhaps Rathnew, as an Iron Age site. But the artefacts have been deposited in the museum here, and because they are here and accessible, there's been research over the years. So most interestingly, recently, a researcher called Roseanne Schott has looked at all of the artefacts again and reassessed and redated them. So we now know that the Rathnew site is primarily has occupation between sort of the 7th and the 11th centuries, and also Tokerstown is a medieval site as well. And there's some very interesting information that's coming out of that as to who might have been there and who might have been occupying that site. But again, I suppose it's just this the ability for us to have the artefacts and be able to research them is really important for sites like this, and to connect them back then to the landscape, as we've been hearing.
And in terms of the excavations that are carried out, are there plans to do further excavations, or is there a reluctance now to do that? Because excavations in the era that you're talking about, early in the 20th century, would have been pretty invasive and possibly done quite a bit of damage.
So at the time, of course, the standards were different. So the way excavations would be carried out now is extremely scientific. There's a license involved. You have to sit an interview to be eligible to hold a license to excavate. It wasn't quite like that when McAllister and Prager were there, even though they had the best of intentions, of course, as well. But now what we would do is generally prefer that preservation happens in situ, so the material is preserved where it was buried, and then we would carry out excavations where necessary. So for example, taking the Hill of Uisneach, very interesting, there have been excavations of sites at three locations around the hill. So one of them I did myself in 2011, and it's an early Bronze Age burial in the townland of Corr, which is just to the north of the hill. So when you're standing in that field, you can look up at the monument. And what happened there was that farmers were actually ploughing, they were planting crops, and as often happens, the plough hit the capstone of this Bronze Age burial, which is dated, we know now, from a radiocarbon dating to 2000 BC. So you're talking, again, 4,000 years old. And we found the burial of a male adult buried with a beautiful decorated ceramic vessel. Nice. And what we were able to find from his remains was very interesting then as well, just in terms of his diet, his posture, what health problems he might have had. So we would do excavations where necessary, but again, not go out intentionally to excavate.
All right. Simon, just back to you in terms of accessibility to the site and what's required. Who is it suitable for, and how onerous is the tour? What do you put them through when you're touring the site?
It's about a 2-hour tour of the hill. Now, it is over pasture land, shall we call it. It's not a very high hill, but we bring them round to the monuments that are on the hill, and so much of Uisneach is the mythology of the place. That's what gives it its life. And so what we do is we bring people to the various monuments, tell the stories at each of them to try and give it context to the place itself. And of course, we go to the summit and that view, that massive view across the central plain. But we're very lucky. It is a privately owned site. We're very lucky that the owners, the Clark family, give permission for people to go up there. So you can book a tour of the site on uisneach.ie. And we run them every weekend, Saturday, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Right, all year round. Weather permitting. Yeah. Okay.
Usually from Bealtaine to Samhain is our open season, but we are open for tours on request, shall
we say. Whatever Eru's weather allows. Exactly. on that front. Okay, Simon Chew, tour guide on Uisneach, and Maeve Sikora, archaeologist and keeper of the Irish Antiquities at the National Museum of Ireland. Thanks very much for that. And of course, you can visit the National Museum of Ireland for free if you want further information on that. We're back in a minute.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.